Welcome to The Fame Game, the podcast with me, Kimberly Wyatt, who you'll probably know from the Pussycat Dolls.
It's not called The Fame Game.
Yes, it is.
It's called So You've Decided to Become Famous.
Boring.
And me, Max Rogers. As well as being married to said Kimberly Wyatt, I am a model and broadcaster.
Setting the name aside, what we can agree on is this podcast is all about fame. It's fair to say we've both experienced fame in its many forms, the highs and very much the lows. On this podcast, we're not holding back and putting all the cards on the table. We're pulling back the curtain and shining a big old spotlight on this age-old thing we call fame.
This is So You've Decided to Become Famous. And this week, find out what made Kim say this.
Would be more successful if I would choose to show more skin.
Right.
This is The Fame Game. And this week, find out what made Max say this.
Leave mums alone, man. Come on.
Nudes, get your tits out. Because today is all about nudity.
That's why I've worn sleeves.
Got your arms out.
My arms out today to demonstrate what I'm willing to show in a podcast.
It's quite funny going from school runs and a crazy hectic morning to like, let's talk about fame and nudes.
Yeah, it feels like they've blended into one today as well. My head is still on the school run.
But we're here.
I'm 100% sure every kid made it into school properly, but I'm pretty sure we did a good enough job.
I trust it.
Now we're here talking about nudes.
So when and how does nudity help with fame? That,
is
my
the
friend,
question.
Is the question.
As Shakespeare so wonderfully put it.
That's right.
Out of interest as well, I'm drinking tea with a drop of honey in it for the first time for 28 days. 28 days, no sugar. And here I am. So how do we start this episode? I feel like this is, when people are looking at the titles of the episodes, I feel like this is one people are going to click on because it's the most fun.
Yeah.
Where should we start?
Well, I feel like we've touched on a story and we haven't fully dived in because we've been waiting for today to talk about nudity. And this is the fact that when we first started dating, I did my little web search.
Yeah.
And found you naked on the cover of GQ magazine for Tom Ford saying, "This is Max.
He is naked.
He is naked."
Why do we have a problem with that?
Why do we have a problem with that?
I don't. It built my entire career. I was... So I'll tell this story.
It was a funny thing to come upon after we had just met. But having done a little Google search and found you naked online.
Yeah.
But in such a context that I felt like it was quite cool.
So that's it. That's it. It's context, isn't it? So we're going to talk about that. But I'll tell this story because we keep touching on it and I might as well get it out of the way so we no longer have to...
Tell the story, babe. Everybody wants to hear it.
So I've done all right as a model. I've been going a couple of years, done some decent jobs. I'm in Barcelona with my friends on what is effectively a lads weekend. And I've booked out the Monday as the professional model that I am, knowing that I'm going to be in no fit state to present myself as a model after this weekend.
Party.
During this weekend, we get sent this potential casting where they want us to take pictures of ourselves naked, send them back to the agency so they can have a look. And we're all sort of in hotel rooms on a lab this weekend, taking pictures of each other completely naked. and sending it back to the agency. And I'm sure they probably got sent around the agency with a lot of laughter. But that's sort of, you sign up for that as a model. You kind of know you're in.
Were you comfortable at this point?
It was sort of, I mean, I'm with my best mates. You know, we've been in sports teams and stuff together. So we've not uncomfortable. However, it's not a situation I would have ever chosen for myself. You kind of, you know, as a model, you sort of sign up for doing certain strange things. So
there's a price.
There's a price. And in this case, it was nothing. But a decent career did carve out of it. So I get home on the Sunday night. I think nothing more of these pictures. On the Monday morning, I get a call from my agent saying, "Get up and get to Big Sky Studios." And I'm like, I've booked out. There's no way I'm getting up. She says, "Right, Tom Ford is there now. He's looking for somebody and he hasn't found this person yet. He likes you. If you get down there now and he likes you, you're staying for the job." I was living not far from Big Sky Studios at the time. So I thought, listen, I'm going to go down there. 20 minutes, I'll be back in my bed. And I've met Tom Ford. So that'd be cool. Go down there, arrive. My mate Paris, who was also on this lads weekend, is already sat there looking like a crumpled wreck on this bench as we're all signing forms saying we don't mind nudity. And we're all sort of like signing them, looking at each other. It's sort of on the boundaries of, this is okay. It's sort of, you know, it happens in our industry. But, you know, a minute ago I was on a hangover day and now I'm sat next to Paris and we're signing this form. See, we did it.
What made you feel okay about it? Did you know at this point it was for GQ and Tom Ford and all that?
So context is important. GQ, Tom Ford, these are big hitters who do things properly.
I will take it off.
And you're thinking it's going to be artistic.
Yeah.
It's not some salacious sort of creepy, weird situation. It's at Big Sky Studios. It's the biggest it gets. There's like a huge team of people there. You know it's good. So we just sort of did it. I walk out there, robe off, sit on the stool completely naked.
So wait, you guys were lined up all in rows?
We were lined up in rows and we're going back. It's very discreet. This is done very properly, and that's another thing. Like, but you get one person on set at a time. They take the casting picture to know whether or not this is the person they want.
Professional nudity.
Professional nudity. And so we're going in one by one, and obviously I sit on this stool, they take the picture, Solvay Sunsbo shoot him, one of the best photographers, he's unbelievable, I love him. And it turns out that I was the guy they were looking for in terms of the look, and they said, you'll be staying now for three
days. That must be a pretty good feeling, having had to show, you know, the full birthday suit and getting the call back, being like, yeah, we'll have that on the front cover.
It might have been a great feeling if I wasn't about to chuck up the entire weekend all over the studio. Yeah. So you take your deep breaths, you try and they're using a lot of powder to get rid of the sweat marks across the floor.
You went straight from the casting to the shoot.
The casting is the shoot.
Yeah.
So they're literally set up. He hadn't found the guy he wanted, so the casting is set up for the shoot, and they're going to get the casting done in the first 20 minutes.
So you've each lined up, you've gone out there, got the kid off, they've had a look, and they've been like, all right, you're the guy.
You're staying.
Yeah.
And so I just think, okay, cool. Paris goes home. See you later, mate. And that's how I ended up doing the shoot. And I was there 3 days. And it was amazing. It was great. Once you've been naked for 5 minutes, once everybody's seen it,
yeah,
you're like, well, this is it now, isn't it? Sure. And actually, by the end of the third day, you're just wandering around because people, like, you know what I mean? Like, what is there left to see?
Yeah.
They photographed it. They're all like looking at it on the Digitex, looking at it like retouching, hopefully in a favourable way.
But we touched on before, they had to put a merkin on you, right?
For those of you who listened, I think it was last week we talked about it. You advised people to Google merkin as homework for this week's episode in preparation for this
Welcome
story.
Welcome back.
Now, this was a time, when was it? Sort of 2008. Guys, manscaping was becoming a thing.
Yeah.
It wasn't to Tom's taste. It was about the nudity of a male. That's the point of the story, which I should touch on as well. It was an artistically credible story, this. If you go back and read the article, you'll understand there was a point to it. So he needed some pubic hair. So he called in several merkins, and they picked the right tone, the right colour, the right shade, and they glued it on. Now, this job fell upon the hairstylist, great mate of mine, Johnny Sapong, what a legend. He's not used to styling pubic wigs.
Oh, who is?
Who is?
And it's a niche, though.
And we're sort of mates, and it was a bit awkward. And Tom, in his wisdom as a director and genius as a director, the best person I've ever worked with.
Big statement.
Our son is named after him.
Yeah.
In his genius as a director, decided that this shoot's going to go better if someone with a vision for what this merkin is supposed to look like got involved. So Tom got involved. And for 2 days, Tom was primping and trimming and making sure that everything looked as it needed to look at waist height.
Wow.
And he did a great job. And we laughed about it several times afterwards because, you know, it is an unusual situation. But we got some incredible shots, and basically it built my career.
Yeah.
Those shots came out and everything changed instantly.
Yeah.
So it worked. Nudity worked for me. It didn't work when I was working with Mario Testino a few months later. And Mario and I were shooting the Dolce campaign, and we went off to shoot the underwear section of the campaign, which again, it's done slightly discreet when you're with people. People are discreet about things. So it was just myself, Mario, and a couple of his assistants, and the female model went down to shoot the underwear in a slightly more discreet location than the huge production that Dolce was. And I'm chatting to Mario about this story. Now, I'd told this story to somebody else, and they'd said, and they'd made a joke saying, oh, so Tom Ford's your fluffer then. I did at the time not know what a fluffer actually was.
I don't know what one is.
Well, it's a job in the porn industry that helps keep male talent ready for action.
Oh.
Off screen.
Yeah.
So there are people who do that to help prepare for scenes. I just thought fluffer meant, you know, stylist it was a cool word for stylist for the pubic region. So as I'm telling Mario this story of Tom and I. And I said, and you know, so basically in the end, Tom was my fluffer for 2 days. And I realised at Mario's reaction that maybe I didn't quite know what fluffer meant, as his mouth, literally his jaw dropped, and he was like,
can't say that.
What?
That the legend that is.
What? So what did he do? Was he like, and then he did some actions that suggested I'd got this horribly wrong, and I had to back out very, very quickly. So for a moment there, it did result in me outing Tom as a potential fluffer on set, which he is absolutely not. Wonderfully professional, and I really enjoyed the whole experience.
Well, that was a great story.
That was a good story.
That was a great
story. That's me. That's how I made it. So in summary, nudity is great.
Nudity worked for you.
Yeah, it worked very well for me. And then, yeah.
I feel like nudity for me has been a constant conversation of, will you? How about now? How about here? How about there? Yeah. And I do remember where nudity got us into some trouble.
Yeah.
With the dolls.
Yeah.
We were doing a show in Malaysia.
Yeah.
Beautiful place to go.
I love this story. It's what I love telling people this story.
We knew that there was a bit of a thing as we were getting to stage. We couldn't really understand, you know, sort of lost in translation, language barrier and everything. But we could tell that the manager at the time was really fighting some fires getting to stage. But hey ho, we got on stage. We did the whole performance. It went really well. I think the crowd loved it. And, you know, we're there till quite late, went back to our hotel rooms, slept, and we had to get on the plane quite early the next day. So we all arrived at the airport, and on the table is the newspaper that says, Pussycat Dolls banned from Malaysia. I was like, what? We're banned? We're at the airport.
We're heading home anyway.
So yeah, they had apparently banned us for showing shoulders and belly buttons at the same time.
Yeah, that is disgusting.
That's not allowed.
That is a disgrace.
So yeah, we were banned from Malaysia.
But
they did invite us back a couple of years later. I think it was the MTV Awards. Jared Leto was hosting. We were performing. But it was on the grounds that we had to wear turtlenecks.
So there's a video out there of the Pussycat Dolls in turtlenecks.
Turtlenecks.
That goes heavily against brand.
So we put the turtlenecks on and then the costumes over top so that we covered everything that needed to be covered, but still gave him a little bit of that pizzazz.
So when it came to the reunion and you got however many thousand complaints to Ofcom for showing too much skin on The X Factor and Ant and Dec and all these other things.
Well, at least we weren't banned.
They should have just got the government involved and banned you from the country. That would have got you in turtlenecks in a heartbeat. I saw it. So I bared all on the front cover of a worldwide magazine, because it was GQ Style.
Yeah.
And built a career. You showed your shoulders and your belly button at the same time and got banned from an entire country.
That's right.
Ironically, the GQ article was about why we're okay to see females naked, but we're not okay to see men naked. That was the whole point of the article. Maybe it worked.
Guess it depends on the region that you're in.
Yeah, I guess it does. A context is everything. I think context, I've written some notes about this podcast, and context is on almost every single line.
Yeah. Yeah,
because there's also the story of you with Loaded post Dolls, isn't there?
Yeah. Well, it's a funny thing because you want to build, as a professional in the entertainment business, you want to build credibility. And you know, if you make the wrong choice as you're trying to build, such as becoming a stripper or throwing your tits in a bar or doing a job with titty tassels, you know, that's going to kind of send you.
Or doing the wrong kind of job for me. If it hadn't been GQ Style cover of Tom Ford,
if it had been, if it had been something else, and I wouldn't want to discriminate against anything else,
because I might still want the job, still available, clearly will do nude, it might have destroyed my career.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing, isn't it? You have to make...
But because you did that cover, I feel like you then became as much as a model, but also a body model. And a lot of times you were doing the runway, you're the guy with your top off.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true, actually.
I'd done no underwear campaigns before that. And now every campaign is always there's always an underwear element to it.
Yeah, this is true.
But you did, the Loaded story.
The Loaded story.
Yeah.
So I had been a Pussycat Doll and I had left the band by this point.
Yeah.
Was working in the UK and there was an opportunity to do Loaded.
Yeah, great.
Great.
It's cool, right?
I thought it was cool.
It's a lads mag and we know what it is, but it's also, you know, that was a moment.
Well, I just felt like, you know what, I'd been amongst a band. It's quite scary stepping out on your own. I kind of want to celebrate that vulnerability with just a bit of a flirty, fun, I love the body that I'm in kind of empowerment piece.
Yeah, lovely.
Loaded.
Lovely. Lovely.
That's how I sold it.
Love your thoughts on that, babe. Really, really nice.
But so we went to back and forth about what the theme or what the vibe of the pictures was going to be. And I was always, you know, of the opinion to be really smiley and sort of flirty with it, a bit more fun. But when I got there, that we got to this point where he was getting all these fun and flirty shots and I was doing it the way that I wanted to do it. But he really wanted to do a different sort of feel or a certain photo. And I remember there was like a big dollar sign light. And he sort of wanted me to ride like a bull.
Yeah.
In my little, you know, tiny little sort of bikini lingerie outfit. And so I'm still sort of leaning over and giving it something that I felt okay with. But then it was like he kept trying to push, wanting more, kept wanting to push, no, make it sexier, no, like really ride it. And I was finally realized what was happening in that moment. Yeah. Maybe because I'd been in the industry for quite some time.
Yeah, you're lucky that you had, because it almost feels like you've got the job. Because you're happy with what you've put in. You think, oh, that's what they'll use. But you know they're going for that one little, just try it, just one little go, and that will be the shot.
Definitely.
Because they only use one or one for each page, you know, 5-page, 6-page editorial or something. And you could have shot for 3 hours and that could all be preamble for him to just get that thing. And
This was probably the first real maybe diva moment I've had, where I'm always about, like, I love a collaboration and I've always loved photo shoots. Huge fan of Kate Moss. But part of it is having that, like, camaraderie with the photographer and having that.
It is an amazing connection when you get a photographer who understands it as well. And you can really work with someone and you know where you're going together. It's tough to explain to somebody, but you are creating when you're doing that. It's a talent.
It is a talent. And at this point, I feel like this guy was definitely not wanting to push me in a very comfortable position. And I had a moment where I was like, no, we're not going in this direction. But I had to like put my foot down.
Yeah.
Literally put my foot down, stop the shoot with, you know, the whole crew standing there with the lights waiting for you, like, what was she going to do? And the photographer being like, well, I don't know, I was just trying to get something different. I'm like, no, you're not. You're trying to push me in a place that I don't want to go. And I will walk away from this set right now if you think that we're going to go in that direction. I'm comfortable within what we discussed before I arrived to this shoot, and we're sticking to the script. And I'm quite proud that
I did that. That's what you have to. But you've had to have been a pussycat doll with a fair amount of understanding where your own personal lines are regarding nudity. You've had to establish that. If you haven't, if you're new to the industry, it is so easy to just get kind of influenced and cajoled into that direction, isn't it?
I think so. I hadn't had more experiences or a bit of a, maybe so many like experiences of having to say yes or no and figuring out how I feel about it. Like, one of my first big gigs was Cedric the Entertainer Presents in the States.
Love that you did that show.
It's me too, because as a kid, my favorite show was In Living Color. It's a sketch show with the Wayans brothers, Jim Carrey. That's where he got his start. Like, I loved it because of the Fly Girls. They had dancers. This is where J-Lo got her start. She was one of the dancers and in Living Color. And I would watch it every Friday night waiting for all the dance scenes sort of at commercial breaks and before the show and sort of...
So you love the dancers, babe.
I loved it.
It's just, I mean, our listeners are going to be like, no way.
Well, I mean, the fact that J-Lo got her start there, I thought that the listeners would really like that. Yeah,
exactly. So you get Cedric and he has...
Which is like In Living Color. It's the same sort of setup. It's a sketch show. He's got his sensations. It's dancers and I am one of them.
This is going to be around the time you're like looking for like places to live amongst CD Hollywood actors.
Absolutely.
And their shower situations.
And the choreographer was Marguerite Derricks, who's one of the ultimates, who's done so many films and television work. Love her. So this was like a dream gig for me. And every week was going to be a different style of dance to learn and perform. So the first one was...
And it's your break, right? This is your first one. You've done work.
Yeah.
But this is your ticket out of awkward... housing situations.
There's like a full series of work.
Yeah.
I'm on every episode.
Yeah.
We show up, we learn the first few dances, and we usually would film a few episodes at a time. And they get us into our first costumes. We all walk out. This is on Fox Television. This is like primetime telly, you know.
Saturday night.
We can't remember what night it was, but yeah.
Whole country.
Yeah, whole country could be watching.
Yeah.
And they have us in literally bra, panties, some thigh highs, and a clear raincoat. And coming, you know, I was 19 years old, just arrived. This is like first big gig. And they're like, okay, here's your lingerie and your clear raincoat. Now go dance with your family.
You told us this was your dream job.
We did end up doing
it. We just went out and did it. And you said all of us as well. It helps that you were in a kind of group situation.
I love a collaboration. And maybe this is one of the biggest reasons why. You do feel safer in numbers. And when you're all on the same, like, say you're in the same boat with what you're being asked to do, if you're able to kind of stick together, I think that there's a power in that.
Even if you're doing...
Even in a clear raincoat.
Check this segue out. Even if you're doing, say, an NBA commercial for the Pussycat Dolls?
No.
It's almost as if I know the stories before we bring them up.
Oh, dear. So, yeah, this one, you know, I was tired.
Yeah.
We literally flew in because it was a big gig. It was NBA. I think it was like it was the finals. That's what you call it in NBA. I'm so lost in England, like football and rugby and everything. I'm forgetting my Americanisms.
Finally.
But it's like a big commercial. We have a song to go with the commercial. We're filming the video to go along with it. It's going to be cut with NBA stars and this whole thing. So we get there, and there's not a whole lot of time.
Dolls, right?
This is Dolls. Yeah. So it's like whatever jersey you've been made, that's kind of your outfit. Now, my thing is my leg, right? My leg always goes up.
Yeah.
And for me, like, my first conversation with anybody that's doing my costumes is like, listen, I want the crotch to be at least 2 inches wide.
Yeah.
We're having no little slips. You know, I don't want anything to happen down there in a moment where my leg is above my head.
You have reinforced crotches all of your... Dolls performances, at least.
Yes. I wore like 4 pairs of boyfriend.
You had to wear like 15 bras as well, didn't you?
Yes.
When you first got together.
Yes.
You would wear like 25 bras to avoid...
Definitely.
...the nip slip. In case one goes, there's still 15 underneath there.
You know?
The first time I saw it, I was like, what are you doing?
it was a method to the madness. And it was to protect my nudity. Because for me, I was coming at it from a professional dancer point of view. And for me, like, costumes is costumes. As long as you're prepared... And the boy shorts is a big one for me. And when I got my costume, there were no boy shorts. Everything would be cut. And that crotch was so tiny. I was like, if my leg goes up, there's no hope. It's going to be a travesty. I'm going to be showing people things that I really don't want to show anybody.
Yeah. So you had a big diva strop kicked off?
I let everybody know, you know, let them be aware of how I was feeling about it. And ultimately, they just wanted to get the gig done. Like, they didn't want any...
No one cares.
Nobody cares.
No one cares.
Just put your outfit on and get out there and do what you're supposed to do.
They just assume that nothing bad will happen and there's no time to change that.
You know, I had some of these experiences to this point, and I just had it that day. So I am yelling at the manager. I was like, you really want me to wear this? And I pulled the skirt and the like bottom part up, basically gave myself a serious camel toe. And I was like, you want me to wear this with my coochie out? Like, I'm not having it. And I went to a nice dark room and I had a moment to just collect myself and figure out how I felt about the situation.
And what did you do?
I just did it. But I don't think I lifted my leg. I think that was,
it was more of a dog at a fire hydrant.
I can't remember exactly what I did, but I remember that I did whatever I needed to feel okay about the situation because I was very not happy. Very not happy. I was very unhappy about my crotch.
And that's the thing, because wardrobe malfunctions, where nudity can pay off in some respects,
yeah,
can be challenging in others.
Yeah.
Like, for example, if you'd have showed some skin in Loaded, you'd have probably got famous faster.
Absolutely.
Whether or not it would have been to the detriment of a long-term career, possibly.
I think
you in a different bracket.
Definitely would be more successful if I would choose to show more skin.
Right.
On my Instagram, in my photo shoots, like...
Everywhere. A wardrobe malfunction, maybe the context is different there because you have a Janet Jackson situation and it basically flatlined her career for a while. But yeah, wardrobe malfunctions don't necessarily pay off too well for people.
Well, I don't think that sporting matches is the place for wardrobe malfunctions or tiny little crotches with your legs up.
That is true.
You know what I'm saying?
So you were right.
It's a family affair.
You were right to not raise the leg and show your
coochie
to everybody.
My coochie.
Well done, babe. And here you are, survived to tell the tale.
I did, but I have gone nude before. Like, I did
the
women's health shoot, didn't I?
Yes.
It was for a really worthy cause. We're celebrating women and empowerment. I was actually pregnant at the time.
Yep.
Can't remember how far.
And the picture's beautiful.
Yeah, I'm really happy with the picture. And I felt really insecure on that shoot because I had big old milky bosoms. Like, I didn't feel like I was in my own body. And I had my bump and finding ways. So still wanted to shine as, like, you know, do beautiful lines and dance poses that I'd like to think that
sort of in itself, it wasn't less about the nudity and more about the celebration of where you are as a person. It was about you being, no one knew you were pregnant, but you did. And you felt like you were almost embracing that and using that.
I feel like for me, if nudity is some, is a form of self-expression, it's like, if you feel like you're creating something beautiful, I don't mind a bit of nudity. If it goes with this vision or creativity or the purpose behind something that you're wanting to say through art.
That's where the line is for me.
Yeah.
That's what justified it to me with Tom Ford's story. And actually Tom was really, I was shooting his campaign with him a few months later, and he was the first person to hand me the magazine. And they'd covered up respective parts with my name in huge capital letters, which is great for me because
huge capital letters.
Yeah, for me, I was really delighted by that because now everybody's seen the image and they've seen my name as well. This is great. Tom was gutted because the point was showing the nude. I mean, technically, I'm not actually shown nude. I could have Speedos on. He wanted to show the nude, the full nude, because he was so passionate about gender roles and why it's okay for a woman to be naked. I'm not 100% sure it's okay for a woman to be fully naked on the cover of a magazine, but you were, and although you weren't showing front side.
Showed my butt.
You showed your butt, didn't you? And then he really wanted to make that point. It was someone's got a point behind this, and that I think is a good line.
But I think the thing is that with nudity, people have different perspectives of how they feel comfortable and empowered showing nudity, using nudity.
Yeah. Some people are properly happily doing OnlyFans right now.
Yeah.
And they're doing apparently
Kerry Katona.
Great.
Apparently. Well,
yeah. So yeah. I saw something with Nick Grimshaw in the other day, and he's explaining. I didn't realise this. Apparently, Kerry Katona's making fortunes out of OnlyFans. I mean, I can't really say anything other than good for her. Like,
and I feel like on the gram and on social media, like, I definitely see a swelling of, if girls are willing to get their tits out and do the photo shoots on the beach on their knees, the waves lapping up as it's all happening.
It's mad how much the followers fly up, isn't it? And that will convert to currency now. Because the more followers you have, the more engagement you have, the higher your rates on social media. It doesn't matter how famous you are, which you are, you know, Pussycat Doll's huge. You're big in this country, but your numbers aren't macro numbers. And so you're most of your work is away from social media.
Well, some people have built their careers up.
And I think the thing is, and this is, okay, so I think that this is what it is. When someone is in their power, it's in their control, and you can clearly see it's a decision that they've made. I don't know if there's necessarily too much of a
problem.
Like, but what you have to do is decide that for yourself before you walk into the loaded shoe.
And I think it's important to not have a problem with that because everybody has their own life to lead.
Yeah, I think you can pick up on things when whoever it is, she or he, is making a choice for themselves. Good for them. There's so much out there that we can look at. Look at something you do like. Don't look at something you don't like. But it is important that our podcast is, you know, famously known as So You've Decided to Become Famous. And for those people who have decided to become famous, I'd like to offer this piece of wisdom. Make those calls before you set out. Decide for yourself where your lines are. Be open to adaption as well, because arguably my GQ story is a slight adaption on where I maybe was. I didn't expect to be in that position, but I looked at the situation and made a choice. But that's only based on the fact that I knew my own mind in that situation, as did you in that loaded situation. You knew it wasn't right, so you had the courage to stand up. If you hadn't already thought of that and developed that philosophy, you might have been exploited a little bit.
But if Tom Ford or Rankin or, come on, give me some more names.
Those are the
Chanel. You know, if anybody asks me to do a beard shoot, really beautiful clothing, doing some gorgeous shapes, I'd be like, yeah, I'll do it.
Yeah.
Like that, because that has always been really exciting to me. And a photo shoot feels like a really safe space when you have incredible professionals that are so talented at what they do. You bring all that together in a room, I'm like, I'll be naked all day long. I don't mind.
What's Rankin calling then?
Yeah. Should we go to some questions?
Let's do some questions. I am so excited to hear how people answered our questions.
I have so many questions.
So do I. I mean, they're answers, really. We asked a question this week, didn't we? And the question was, something along the lines of, when is it okay for a celebrity to get naked?
Before a shower is a constant
I've had
answer.
A lot of before showers. AZ, thanks for your contribution, brother. To have a shower and sex. Thanks, mate.
And before a spray tan, I mean, obviously.
I have to say my favourite comment is from Finley, who just says Dwayne Johnson. And I looked at that for a while and I'm inclined to agree. If I looked like Dwayne Johnson, I'd rarely be clothed.
I did work with Dwayne Johnson once.
Did you?
The rundown. You don't blink or you'll miss me. But in the club scene, as they pan to Dwayne Johnson or The Rock, I'm right there with an orange shirt on. I think it says Wyatt on it.
It says Wyatt on it?
Yeah, I found a cool shirt in a vintage shop that had Wyatt written on it. I was like, I'll wear this in the film.
As what is effectively an extra in a film, yeah, you basically labelled yourself.
A principal? It was a principal dancer, thank you very much.
Sorry, you dancers call yourself something different, don't you?
But there's this overwhelming feeling that when it comes to nudity and when people feel that it's okay for a celebrity to get naked, is for a cause.
Charitable endeavours.
That's it.
I've had KDZ333, R2K0A22, Rash. Hello, Rash. TC from Dancing on Ice, Tony Kane's.
Yeah.
Old Lady Simpson, all of these people just saying charity. And it seems like that is the overwhelming stuff. We've had a few quick cash. Thank you, Love Madra. Ashley Roberts says to see that ass.
See that ass.
Yeah.
Gotta see that ass.
Thanks, Ash.
You gotta say it in Ash talk.
Oh, no, yeah.
Go see that ass.
That's better.
But so, Morella, this is one that I was like, yes. When you and the person you work with respect the art that is created.
There you go.
It's about something other than just your tits, really. Yeah,
there you go. Those are the reasons we've done it, aren't they?
I'd like to think so.
Yeah, body positivity's in there. Lots of, and again, charity.
Charlotte Agar, this is another one, to tell an authentic story, celebrate their body or support a worthwhile cause. To tell an authentic story, I think this is a big one. Because like as an actress, there could be times where there's a script sent to me. And, you know, that person might be a love story. It might be a traumatic something is going on.
Completely reject them out of hand, don't you? Because of loyalty to your husband.
No, I'll take it into consideration, depending on the story. Do we need to talk about this off camera? I thought you knew this. I'm just waiting for the call.
It's a good job you're getting none of these jobs, isn't it? No, but you're right. That's it. If you're playing a role and it is integral to the story or the message or the meaning, and you believe in that meaning, and you want to tell that story,
it becomes
your job, it becomes part of what you do.
Yeah,
but again, establish those lines before you go in and you won't feel tempted or influenced.
How about this one from J-Mac? Cure mass curiosity about how hot you are.
I've got Jamie James says, for male celebs it can be a way to combat negative rumors about size, and then in brackets he's put, but size isn't important. I feel like it might be important to you having brought it up, Jamie.
Are male celebs out there getting their pants off to measure up? I didn't know this.
Well, I certainly didn't do that. Glad I was covered up. What is fast becoming the favourite part of my entire week? Being absolutely horrendous.
Yeah, you
guessed the headlines.
Babe, you really let us down last week.
Yeah, I was horrendous.
You have a lot of making up. Yeah.
And just so you're aware, I have read no headlines all week.
So.
Oh, no. So there you go.
Let's go. Number one.
Teamwork.
Blank receives backlash after posting nude bathtub photo with her baby. Right, number one, that is absolute nonsense.
I think I did a bath photo with my baby.
Yes, and why did you do it? Not for any kind of sexual provocative way. That to me is on a par with the breastfeeding argument. It's natural feeding. Like, it's an entirely natural thing. Bathing with your baby, you're not sharing a picture of you titillating your audience. There should be no reason for controversy.
Who's had a baby recently?
Stacey Dooley's pregnant.
Could be Stacey Solomon. Could be Catherine Ryan. No, she's pregnant. We used to be hot on this when we were in the motherly way, fatherly way.
Should we go with Stacey Solomon?
Stacey Solomon.
Stacey Solomon.
Oh, Emily Ratajkowski.
The model at, yes, okay, sort of, yes.
Your world.
Okay, yeah, that is my world.
It was your world.
Yes, of course. She did the Blurred Lines video, didn't she?
Which was, I mean, there was so much about that. That really brought a lot to the surface within society about what is okay and what is not. She spoke out about it.
Yeah.
So if anything, she's helped make change. So the fact that she's now in a place of feeling empowered and being a mum and holding her baby in the bathtub and...
Just leave mums alone, man. Come on.
You can't help in that moment to want to share these really special
things. Yeah, and you're not going to go and get your clothes on, are you, to do it?
No.
But
I think that every mum, there's not a mum in the world who hasn't taken a picture of themselves sharing a bath with their newborn baby. It's a really special thing. There's lots of special things, breastfeeding, all those things that you do, you probably are documenting it. So if you've documented it, stick it on social media. It's not a sexual thing. It's not provocative. It's
just funny that people feel like they have to say something about it. If they see it, they're like, oh, no, they need to know how I feel about this.
Totally not. Oh, you know what? I think I'm going to look at something else.
Yeah, I'm stopping everything I'm doing because this girl needs to know that this precious moment she's sharing with her baby is affecting me negatively.
What is it that person once said to you? And we should do a whole episode on this, on trolls and stuff like that. But someone had been watching your videos and telling you how much she hated them.
Yeah.
And he hated them over and over again. And then, you know, there's every video. And in the end, I was just like, I wrote a comment saying, bless you for watching all these videos you don't like. What are you doing? Look at something else.
All right, babe. Yeah. We're going to headline number two, and you better be better than this.
God. Pressure is really on. Blank mocks concert nudity complaints, saying "grow the f up." Now, I'm gonna go out on a limb here and say that
Doja Cat.
I think they mean fuck.
You don't think they're going with F?
No, because headlines do this. It's very clever. Often they'll use stars, yeah. And you'll be like, I know what this
is. It's an F with an at sign and a...
They make us do the swearing because they don't want to do it. I love
you put it in my head.
Yeah, you're the one telling me now I've got to say it. So I think they mean fuck.
Yeah.
I have no idea who they're talking about. Doja Cat, did you say?
Yeah, Doja Cat's been touring quite a lot, and she goes quite skimpy. It wouldn't be Demi Lovato. I don't feel like that would be her sort of bag.
Iggy pops naked on stage a hell of a lot, but I doubt that's a reference people are going to care about in this modern day.
Grow the F up.
The publication was Ultimate Classic Rock. This changes everything.
Everything.
I mean, not that Iggy Pop was classic rock, per se, but he is naked and classic.
Yeah.
Could be Iggy Pop.
Could be. Miley Cyrus is in that world now.
Classic rock.
Yeah.
God, I know nothing to her.
She's kind of like crossing over all different genres of music. And her music right now is really good.
Yes, I agree. Yeah. I heard something
very
that I really
authentic,
liked.
I feel like.
Willow played me something that she, like, I thought
was that right?
Was
like, her daughter.
She wants to listen to this, and it was good. Tommy Lee.
He's not been doing it much.
No, but Pam and Tommy.
Yeah. Right, it's just, yeah, it's like something that you would say. Pam and Tommy was a good series, by the way.
Pam and Tommy was a great series. For those who haven't seen it, and Lily James was absolutely outstanding.
Yeah, she was. And the breastplate, I couldn't believe it. They talk about nudity.
Yeah. Wasn't she even technically boobs, didn't get nude, but she was naked the entire time. Yeah. Incredible.
So I say Tommy Lee.
Tommy
Lee. Why not?
So I got one.
Well done, babe. I believed in you the whole time.
Yeah, totally. Right, that's me done now. How long have I got? I've got 3 weeks before I've got to get one right. Yes.
Yay, we
can tell my genres,
right.
Though. It come from classic rock. Up steps Max.
Blank puts on a leggy display at San Sebastian Film Festival after speculating nudity in her Marilyn Monroe biopic Blonde will go viral.
Firstly, can we talk about the leggy display?
I mean, pins, leggies, like Daily Mail loves.
They always flaunt themselves, yeah, don't they? No, flaunting. They just walk out of the house. Yeah. They're just walking somewhere. They're not flaunting.
Yeah.
Why? I don't understand how this helps anybody's agenda. Like, who sees that and thinks, oh, when they put flaunting, that means I'm going to see something?
God, she woke up and was like, you know what I need to do today?
Yeah.
I'm getting them out.
Yeah. I'm going to take off my legs and put on my pins. Why is the leggy display?
Yeah.
Like it was ridiculous. Anyway.
It's the blonde.
It's Ana de Armas. But I know that she was in that recent Ryan Gosling movie and she was in the Bond. She was amazing in the latest Bond movie.
Really?
Amazing. Sort of like a cameo role. It was amazing.
Ah.
You would have loved her role as well.
Yeah.
That's the sort of role that you want to do.
Yeah. Blank promises a certain level of nudity in their next movie.
A surprising level of nudity.
A surprising level
I
of nudity.
I think surprising is a key word there.
Surprising.
Like Jack Black or somebody like that.
Sacha Baron Cohen.
I want it to be Jack Black.
Do you? I once did a kick line with Jack Black dressed as a popcorn kernel for the MTV Movie Awards when him and Sarah Michelle Gellar were hosting.
And ironically, that wasn't the worst thing you've ever done for money.
Literally bouncing. Like
just as a popcorn. What year was that?
Oh, God, I can't remember.
So we can find that footage.
Yeah.
We can find that.
It's
somebody
out there.
Find that
me
footage
and my popcorn
and
outfit.
Send us a video of Kim dancing as a popcorn kernel.
Doing a kick line next to Jack Black. Loved it.
Amazing.
Yeah. So who was it? Oh!
Harry Styles. Yeah, I mean, as if we needed to say more about that movie as well.
So what have we learned?
I believe we've learned, and I actually think this is quite a serious one this week. We've actually learned some wisdom that we can pass on to other people. And I have mentioned it before, but know where your boundaries are and how you want to express yourself with regards to nudity before you embark on a life of fame.
Yes, I think that is great. For me, I think I've learned to each their own. Everybody has a different perspective when it comes to nudity and how far they are willing to go. And I feel that it's very important for me to continue teaching dance, especially for teenagers, to arm them with the confidence to own their space and own their body and know that it's ultimately their choice. Because I feel like without that practice, if you're thrown into your first experience of will you or won't you, if you haven't practiced that sort of thing, you will be more susceptible to doing things that you probably wouldn't have normally wanted to do.
That you're not sure that you're uncomfortable with.
That's it.
It's good to find out that before.
You know, it kind of brought the whole thing down, but I think as women...
No, but what you kind of did is advertise your dance academy.
Oh, well, yeah.
I mean, it was brilliant. We went from you know, a pretty hard-hitting advice about nudity to what you should do is keep dancing, and if you're interested, I have a dance academy.
Well, because it's the teachings that you get from dance that I felt armed me for those moments, and had I not had dance and experience in, you know, being in costume and... dancing around, I don't know.
You wouldn't have known to say no to that guy.
Yeah, I wouldn't have had the power to. I wouldn't have known that I needed to have the power to, more like it.
I did not dance, and I just got it all out on a hangover after a weekend in Barcelona. It worked out okay, so each to their own, as you say, babe.
All right, there you go it.
Yeah.
Nudity, to nude or not to nude.
Thank you for listening to this week's The Fame Game. Now, before you go, make sure to hit subscribe or follow, and that means you're first to know of next week's episode.
What my wonderful wife actually means is thank you for listening to So You've Decided to Become Famous. You can also let us know you liked it by rating 5 stars, leaving a lovely review, or by sharing with a friend.
You can follow us at Kimberly Wyatt and at Max Rogers UK. See you next time.
Insanity Group.